I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
But dear viewers of Madri channel, you're watching I Love Islam. Alhamdulillah, today, like always, we have some beautiful segments, we have some important topics we'll be talking about, and also at the same time, we're going to have some fun together, inshallah. If you're watching this program, wherever you are in the world, make sure you stay tuned, watch this program till the end, because today, inshallah, we will be talking about, that's a secret. You have to wait for that. I can't tell you the topic right now. Come on, stay watching. Let's quickly first go to quiz of the day.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Let's see, what's the question of the day? It's, what is the name of the second Islamic month? What is the name of second Islamic month? Who thinks who knows the answer?
Ooh.
All three of you. What did I say? It's going to be an easy question. Well, you think you know the answer, but I've not asked you the answer. What if you got a wrong answer in your mind?
Then we're wrong.
If you got a wrong answer in the brain, that means you're wrong. That's interesting. Now it's time for us to move on to our first segment of the day, My Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our first segment of the day, My Islam. Alhamdulillah, in this segment, we touch upon such topics that beautify our character, that increase our knowledge about Islam, that express the greatness and beauty of Islam. Today we have a wonderful topic that we're going to talk about, but I'm not going to announce the topic yet. We're going to have some quiz in the studio. I'm going to give it to the kids now. I want them to have a random guess about the topic. Come on, who wants to start off there? You want to give a clue?
Yes, you always need a clue. Is it a clue?
Say again?
Is it a clue?
Is that a clue? No, that's not a clue yet. I'm just thinking what clue to give you. In the title, there's a word that refers to something which is in the sky.
Is it the something?
No.
The sun?
There's no the. There's an S there. The first letter
sky.
Of the first word starts with S.
Sky.
It's not sky.
Stars.
This thing is in the sky, but it's not sky. Should I give you another clue?
Go on.
Somewhat, one of you was not just close, you were there. But you didn't stay in one place, so I didn't say no to it. You've said
stars.
It. Stars. Yes. You got the first word right. Subhanallah. You got the first word right. Stars. We're going to talk about stars today.
Yeah. How?
Well, which stars?
Oh, actually.
Yeah, we are. And that's the topic.
That's what exactly what I said. Like.
Well, you did say it. That was my clue to you. You said it. I didn't say no
starlight.
To it.
Starlight.
When he said stars, I didn't say no. You just moved on to something else.
What type of stars do you mean?
The type of stars, yeah.
Starlight.
These are stars that live on the earth.
Star human.
Oh, the star human. Wow, that's a nice title.
Human star.
Human star. This, we're not referring to prophets. Definitely prophets are, you know, in this context, what we're talking about, they are the shining stars.
So shining stars.
Shining stars, subhanAllah.
The angels.
The shining stars of Islam. Who do we refer this to?
Sahaba. Sahaba. You're right, but this S.
Yes. You're right. But what today what we're gonna talk about, that's half of them.
What?
From the title.
So that's just Sahaba human stars.
Alhamdulillah, all the Sahaba ikram are humans.
Sahaba.
Oh, there are obviously jinns as well. We don't normally refer them as Sahabi, but there are jinns, you know, who are the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They accepted Islam as well. There's a surah in the Quran called Surah Jinn. Well, here obviously we talk about humans. Sahaba and Ahle Bayt. Now these both, Sahaba and Ahle Bayt, are the stars of something. That's the title.
Stars of humans.
No. The stars of the Prophet.
They are stars of the Prophet.
What does it start with?
Ji?
What does it start with?
It starts with one of the letters in the Arabic. Not Arabic.
So is it A, B?
There's one word that's in the word glass.
Is it G?
Yes.
Yeah.
Stars of J.
Jannah.
Stars of Jannah, subhanAllah.
Is that right or wrong?
That's not the title though. the love of Sahaba and Ahle Bayt, inshallah, will take person to Jannah. Inshallah Azawajal. What's the title? You're there now. Come on, boys. You're there. How do I say after that? The slow motion.
Is that an
guy?
Guy.
Something else. So got S at the end. It's got a D in the middle.
Guidance.
Guidance. MashaAllah. Stars of
guidance.
SubhanAllah. The Honorable Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt, or in Urdu we say Ahle Bayt, the blessed household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the stars of guidance. Who are the Sahaba? Who are the Ahlul Bayt? We're going to find out from Brother Al-Qab.
The blessed companions and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are definitely stars of guidance for us. The companions, these are those people who physically met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companions are those, yes.
And who like took guidance from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pass on to other people.
Yeah, they directly sat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, met him, took guidance and then passed it on to other people. And because of them, that Islam, that guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has reached to us.
Subhanallah.
The companions are those people who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, physically met him.
Subhanallah.
Physically met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then at the time of meeting had iman, became Muslims over Muslims, and then they passed away on iman as well. And the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Ahlul Bayt, that meaning is obvious, that they are the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Now just for a moment, try to sink in what Brother Arkham just said. That these noble personalities are so lucky that they were blessed to live in the blessed time of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They had the opportunity to actually physically see Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, to sit in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, to talk to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Any issue that they had, any problem they were going through, anything, if it was a physical problem, someone had, for example, in a battle, they lost an eye. They lost an eye, the eyeball came up, and this companion, he actually went with the eyeball. No, obviously he was in pain, he was bleeding. He took this eyeball, he went, said to the Prophet, my eyeball has come up. And the Prophet applied his blessed saliva and blessed on him, and then I joined back again. And this eye never, this eye was so bright. Yeah, this is a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone came, his bone got cracked in a battle, and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fixed it.
Subhanallah.
You know, these people were so fortunate, so lucky, that any problem that they had, They who do they used to go to for guidance, for help, for assistance? Directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Think about it this way. You know, when we want to learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we want to listen to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we ask a scholar or an imam, tell us about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say on this topic? Or we read a book where it mentions what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. We have an issue. If we want to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we go to Medina to visit the blessed resting place of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To go to the resting place of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These companions were lucky. If they wanted to speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they wanted to understand something from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they could go directly to him. They didn't have to go to a book. They didn't have to read something. They didn't have to go to a scholar. They could go directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If they wanted to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't have to go to sleep. For us generally, what do we have to do? We have to go to sleep, hope we have a dream where we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it might happen, it might not happen. They could just go out of their homes, go to the masjid, go anywhere and see where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and have a look at him.
Subhanallah.
How fortunate they were.
These are so, you know, honorable personalities. Every single companion of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala, so which we know them as the Sahaba. So sometimes you might hear a word called a Sahabi. Someone is a Sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This means someone who is a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And remember this term, Sahabi, is an Islamic term. And not all those people who lived at the blessed time of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam are Sahaba. Not all of them. Remember at that time there were people who believed in different faith. They had different religions. They didn't follow the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They didn't accept the message of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Them people lived in those places as well. Those streets and those cities, those areas. They knew, they were aware that this personality is the last or final messenger of Allah. This is Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But for whatever reason, some people did not accept the truth, did not admit to Islam, didn't enter and become a Muslim. Then people, although they had the chance to meet Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, they had the opportunity to talk to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. However, these people, they're not Sahabi. So we can't say that whoever was, you know, whoever had a chance to talk to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, whoever had a chance to sit in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, automatically that person becomes a Sahabi. There's a condition for this. And Brother Arkam just mentioned, and I'm going to reiterate that, I'm going to explain it again, so we all become aware of this. So when we say someone is a Sahabi, this means a Sahabi is a person who in the state of Iman, so he's a Muslim, in the state of Islam, he was blessed to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, even for a moment, even for a short moment, he was in the state of Iman. He was a Muslim, and in this state, he was blessed with the company of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Even if he was blind, he was not able to do the ziyarah, he was not able to see Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This person is a blind individual, but he had the honor to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in the state of Iman, and he remained steadfast upon the teaching of Islam, and he passed away with Iman as well. So someone who in the state of Iman, he was blessed to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and then he remained steadfast and he passed away with Iman. If these two conditions meet, then that individual, that person is known as a Sahabi. And every single Sahabi, or if I say all the Sahaba, will go to Jannah.
Subhanallah.
Every single one of them. And when referring to Sahaba, on one occasion, our beloved master, the last and final prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, once said that my Sahaba are like the stars. And why are these Sahaba referred to as stars? What is the reason behind this? Arkam bhai could shed some light on this. Why are the Sahaba known as the stars?
Subhanallah. Before we carry on with that one, from some angles, all the companions, they're the same. Like their companions, so they're all the same. And in this narration that you're mentioning, they're all referred to as the same as well.
Subhanallah.
And in other angles, they're totally different as well. Each Sahabi is unique.
Subhanallah.
In this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "My companions are like stars. Whichever one of them you follow, you will be guided." From this narration, all of them are the same. Whichever companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam you follow, you will be guided. Now, just think about what you said like a few moments ago. Even if somebody spent a few moments, only a few moments, in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person now, because he was in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is a star.
Subhanallah.
If you follow him, you will be guided. Look at how lucky those people are. Look at the rank and the honor of being in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if someone is in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even for a moment, they become such a star that if you follow them, you will be guided.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Well, I'm going to ask the question to kids. So we've just heard a narration that the Sahaba are like the stars. Are the stars, and whichever of them you follow, you'll be guided. Now, why do you think they are referred to stars? And how's that? What's that linked to with guidance?
They spread the light of Islam.
The stars spread the light, don't they?
Yeah.
That's one as well. Well, there's something else. There's something that I want you to say. What could it be?
Does it refer to the sun?
No. What could it be? Why are stars linked with guidance? There's a big connection between them.
The stars in the dark, they show you the way. So
they show you the way?
The stars, they lighten up your path. So
so when you're in a dark alley or somewhere, and you're in a jungle,
if there's lots of stars around you, you can see.
That's not how. There's something more. There's something more to it. Come on. This thing might be something new for you. Even if the kids who are watching this program, this might be something new. So make sure you listen to it carefully. What could it be? Why are the honorable companions, the Sahaba, why are they referred to stars? And why are stars linked with guidance?
Because they guide you.
Has ever a star come to guide you?
No.
We're going to talk about Sahaba Ikram here, but let's talk about stars for a moment. Why do we say the stars of guidance? Why is guidance linked with the stars? Have you ever had a star talk to you?
No.
And guided you?
No. It's because they...
No, Hassan probably has a star.
Is it because...
When he's about to go to sleep, the star tells him, listen, don't use the phone, go straight to sleep.
Maybe. It's because the stars are spread out. They guide each other because when a lot...
Stars guide each other. Don't come in my way.
No, it's fine.
I'm going to pinch you. What could it be? Come on. That's an interesting one. Okay, in this day, let's make it easy for you. Yeah? In this day and age, if you want to travel somewhere and you don't know how to get there, what do we do?
We use a map. But if there's no map, you look at the sky and the stars to see what time it is. So
not time is it guides you
where to
north.
Should we put you into text?
The west.
Tonight we're gonna take you and your Abu somewhere in the hills and you're gonna guide us how to come back.
No, I mean in the old before people used to look at the stars to see what time it is and they used to find a way.
MashaAllah. These guys, right? So in this day and age we use maps, don't we? Yeah. We have various navigations on the phones, on our gadgets, and they're somewhat fixed onto our cars as well. So we just put in the postcode,
and then we hit the
start button, and then it shows a path to us. Yeah. Last night I was traveling from somewhere, and someone messaged me really late. This is around midnight. Someone phoned me. May Allah bless the brother. He phoned me and he said, "Brother Tawfiq, when you return, please don't come through the motorway because there's a road blocked over there. There's a huge queue." So I thought just to inform you, you can find another route. Maybe put it on your navigation. It'll probably give you a shortcut. So what I did when I left from there, I put it on my navigation. But because I left well after when my brother told me, he still showed me the motorway sign.
Yeah.
That's why it looks okay. On the navigation, it looks okay. So I just followed it. And Alhamdulillah, it was fine. There was that place, there was roadworks happening, but there was a big queue in that place. So I came home, Alhamdulillah, safely and on time as well. So when I was stuck somewhere, what did I do? I used the navigation. That's the first thing we do. It's the first thing, and sometimes the last thing. That's the only thing we do. The day your phone's batteries are dead, that's when you snooker. We don't normally have a plan B.
Yeah.
book many years ago, yeah, maybe 40, 50 years ago, maybe before this as well, you know, if people still used to travel, you know, without, you know, even, you know, before these maps, before the phone maps, there were paper maps, there used to be booklets, books, big books. And when people used to travel, sometimes they used to park, they used to drive up to service stations, you know, petrol pumps. They used to go there and they used to ask them. Because normally them type of people, loads of people come to them. So they know the areas really well. So sometimes you ask them, oh, well, how do I get to that place? So people ask different people to find a boat. Now, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, this was a normal practice. And even up to 50, 60 years ago, I wouldn't be surprised even today, there might be some systems in the world that still follow that process. And what they used to do, they used to follow the stars. It's a science, by the way. So when we look up at the stars, okay, Mr. Star, I want to go home. Star, can you please guide me to Hassan's home? I need to go pick him up. Now, we won't be able to do it because we've not studied the science of stars. We won't understand it. Yeah? However, the past time, there were people, they could understand the, you know, how the stars move and what signals they gave, what direction, what does that mean? And when they form a little, like a little cuddle or something, what does that mean? And when they separate, what does it mean? They could see that. And people, especially those people who travel on ship, remember there's no aeroplanes at one time.
Yeah.
There's no aeroplanes, there's no cars, there's no navigations. People used to travel on ship, boats and ships. And say you're in the middle of a sea. Yeah. How do you get to the next country?
You look up.
And this is what they used to do. To us, it might look like, I don't know if the word weird is right, but it looks weird, eh? What? How do they do that? This is an art. It's a skill. It's a full science. But the stars of guidance, that's our topic today. So the Honorable Companions, the Sahaba Ikram, are referred to the stars of guidance. And how do we know? What's their importance? Inshallah, that's what we're going to talk about in a bit. Before we do that, we said the word Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt, the blessed household of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now, when we say Ahlul Bayt, or the blessed family of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, remember one thing. Every single member of the family, they are also a Sahabi as well.
Subhanallah.
Yeah.
All of them are a Sahabi. This doesn't mean that these people are Sahaba, and this is family, and family is not Sahabi. It doesn't mean that. So every single member of the blessed family of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, they are also in the Sahaba family as well. They are all companions. Remember that definition that we were talking about earlier on? So they had the opportunity to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in the state of Iman, and they remained steadfast and they passed away with Iman as well. And that definition fits in that category as well. However, they have an extra special connection as well because they are from the household of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And who is referred to the blessed family? This is a very broad word. Some scholars say, give us like an easy way to remember this. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, every connection with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is special. So all the honorable wives, the mother of the believers, all of them, they are from the Ahlul Bayt. All of the honorable wives of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and also all the offspring, all their children and generations to come, till the day of descendants, or until the day of Qiyamah, all of them, they are all born from the Ahlul Bayt as well. Yeah? So this also includes Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, and it also includes the fourth caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. So these are the Ahlul Bayt, and all the Ahlul Bayt and Sahaba, they are the stars of guidance. And as a Muslim, you know how important it is for us to have honor for them. How important it is to love them. Do you know how important it is?
To love
the Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt is so important. You want
to
say it?
To love them more than your family.
Yes. Look, as a human being, who do we love generally as a human being? You have love for your parents, for your brothers and sisters, siblings. You have love for your children, so married. Yeah. You have love for wealth. People have love for wealth. People have love for properties. However, remember one thing, that the love for the Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt is way more important than anything else that we love. Because love for the Sahaba is part of our iman. Yeah, we have to love them. Loving, you know how important it is to love? Loving the Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt is loving Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. To one way to express our love for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam is by showing love towards the Honorable Sahaba. So have that in your mind. It's so important for us to study about their blessed lives and look at the struggles they went through and the messages that they have given, the sacrifices they have given for Islam. We can't just ignore them. Do we not see what happened in Karbala? 72 people were martyred. They were brutally murdered. We use the word martyred. They were made shaheed. For them individuals, they're lucky. Yeah, for them individuals, they all of them are in paradise. They're all in Jannah. They've got a high rank. They were made shaheed. But the action that took place, that was evil. It was cruel. There's no words to describe what they did. It's one of the worst things ever in the history.
You know how you said that? They used to find their way by stars.
Mm-hmm.
So then and they would travel on ships just to like send stuff or go places. So then how would they do that in the daytime? Because there would be no stars.
I think, you know what, we'll appoint someone. Who should we appoint for this task? We'll appoint Hassan, okay? Hassan, I want you to go back 50 years. Yeah. Rewind the clock. Yeah, go back in 50 years. And I want you to sit in the boat during the day. Yeah. And whoever's the captain in the boat, ask him, how does he travel during the daytime? Okay, I've given him a task and then he comes back, he'll give me an answer. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala. So we're having some fun today, alhamdulillah. During the night, because it's dark, they can't see anything. Mm. So they use the stars. During the day, it's daylight, isn't it? So maybe, I'm just assuming they could probably see different airs. Possibly the wind direction helps people as well. Yeah, so there would be loads of things.
Yeah.
But if I be straight to you, if I be honest with you, I don't know the answer. I've not experienced being in the middle of a sea without any navigation. Forget navigation, I've not even signed them in the sea. Okay. I've traveled over the sea though.
Actually.
Yeah, I've traveled over the sea. On the aeroplane. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But this was something that it was standard. That's what people used to use. Even when people find the direction of Qibla as well. You know, where is the Qibla? Before all this navigation, other like tools that are available to find where the Qibla direction is, before the compass is, there are still people, there's only few less people left, but there are people who can tell where the Qibla is, yeah, through the direction of the stars. There are still people there. I can remember there's one person, I know a scholar, when we asked him, is the direction of the Qibla of this particular masjid, is it correct? You know, where people read namaz in this masjid, is this the correct way? And when he came, he checked and he said it's slightly off according to his his science or his knowledge. Yeah, but it wasn't too much off, so they kept the same direction the way it is. So it's still within the limits. Yeah, when you read namaz, but they actually got someone because he knew the science of the stars. Either he knew or either people feel like he knew. Allah knows best. But there are people, even now in this day, do you know there's people in this world who don't have a phone?
Yeah.
How many would there be? Teachers.
No, actually my teacher, he doesn't have a phone.
But there are people even today, yeah, they don't have a phone. They've not seen a phone.
Yeah. Because they never used it.
Obviously, they can't use it. Like, they're not seeing it. They can't use it. They will not even have the experience of the phone. They won't. Forget about smartphone. They've not seen a phone.
Yeah.
There's people in the world, in some countries, they've not seen phones. And you know, we sometimes forget about this. You know, we think everything's for granted. We've got everything. We forget how important these things are. These are blessings of Allah Ta'ala. There are people, you know, the life we live. The life we live in, we might not be millionaire, billionaire people.
Yeah.
We might be just normal people. But the life we live in, there are millions of people who wish to have lifestyle like us. There are millions of people. There are so many poor people out there. They don't have the basic facilities.
Not even clean water. We just pick up a bottle or open the tap. It's people that don't have clean water to drink.
So it's important that, you know, sometimes we take a backseat and we reflect upon this and thank Allah Ta'ala for the favors. And also, you know, when if you become aware of anyone, you know, as a family, as individuals, when you grow big, inshallah, help these individuals. We should always help the poor people, you know, and earn their du'as. Yeah. So they're looking at the poor world, yeah, it's possible them people, they don't use navigation. They still probably use the stars when they travel.
No, even now, some people, during the day, not the stars, but the sun, if we were somewhere, we didn't know where the Qibla is, we would generally use the app on our phone to work out which way it is. There's people who just look at the sun and work out which way it is.
Yeah, and how far it's gone. And
yeah.
What time is Namaz? The people, you know, like we look at time, it's Namaz time now. Oh, I need to go now. It's Namaz time. Yeah. There was a time without the watches. They could tell it's Asr time, Zohr time, looking at the sun. Subhanallah. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to understand the nature and connect with the nature. That's a reality. Yeah, it's important for us to, you know, connect ourselves with nature. Just to summarize the many messages you want to give regarding the Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt.
Yes, we've described the Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt as stars of guidance. They were the stars of guidance then, when they were physically alive here. They've stayed as the stars of guidance for the last 1400 years.
Subhanallah.
They're the stars of guidance now for us. And they will always be the stars of guidance. But for us, the Sahaba, the Ahlul Bayt, all of these blessed individuals, they're not just names that are in a book or we hear about and we've heard it now, it's carried on. We need to know every one of them. Like before I said, the companions from one angle, they're all the same. From other angles, they're different. And what I mean is, some of the Sahaba were rich. Some of them were poor. Some of them were businessmen. Some of them were scholars and different types of people. Whatever we are, whatever we want to do, whatever we want to become, there's guidance in the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt for us. How we want to be as families, how we want to be as children, as fathers, as brothers, as sisters. There are guidance for us in every aspect of life, in everything we do in life. They are stars of guidance for us. So whatever we want to do, whatever we want to learn about, we should find a companion or someone from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Learn about them, learn about their life. For example, if you want to be a businessman, you find one of the companions who's a businessman. You learn about him. How did he become a businessman? What did he do? And he's your star of guidance in how to run a business. If you want to be someone who recites naats and nasheeds, there was companions who recited naats and nasheeds in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should learn from them and take guidance from them how to recite naats and nasheeds. Like this, in whatever area it is, we should look at the companions and take guidance from them.
SubhanAllah, you mentioned naats and nasheed. I think it's time for us to listen to a naat, inshallah. Are we ready, boys?
Yeah, can Hassan go first?
Okay, Hassan wants to go first.
But he said it, so I don't mind.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I don't mind. I'll sing it first.
You know why you don't mind?
Why?
I won't tell you yet.
Because I love it.
Salu al Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala bless all these kids, mashallah. As you can see, we're learning about deen at the same time, we're having some fun as well. We're having some discussions and we're having, I'm trying to keep the kids engaged, yeah, trying to keep them away from the boredom, as they say. Right. Before we go to next segment, let's have a kalam. Okay. So you want to go first then, okay? So Asif is going to read a kalam.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah wa sallam alayka ya Habib Allah. Tera kamaam tere geet aawa ya Rasulallah. Tera kamaam tere geet aawa ya Rasulallah. Tera milad mein kyun na manawa ya Rasulallah. Sarkaar ki aamad marhaba, dildaar ki aamad marhaba, Makki ki aamad marhaba, Madani ki aamad marhaba. Tera meenad mein yun na manawa ya Rasoolallah. Jagao baak mein قدر اس نام کی دنیا یا رسول اللہ تیرا میلاد میں کیوں نہ منانا یا رسول اللہ میں کچھ بھی نہیں جی تیرے نال میری کوئی نسبت نہیں میں سب کو جہاں جب میں تیرا صدا ماں یا رسول اللہ میں سب کو جہاں جب میں تیرا صدا ماں یا رسول اللہ تیرا میلاد میں کیوں نہ منانا یا رسول اللہ
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ, that was a beautiful kalam. Subhan, you just lifted the whole program. MashaAllah. Inshallah, I'm going to give you a task. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a task. But did you know which task I'm going to give you?
Wathayan said, did you know the next thing?
It's about the Sahaba.
Did you know? I'm going to tell you in our next segment called Did You Know?
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, Did You Know? Well, in this segment, we normally talk about some facts about Islam, different facts, different interesting things that we learn about. Today, we're going to talk about how can we help the Muslims who are passed away. This is something very important. We need to realize this, that when, look, if you look at the life, what do we do in life? What are we supposed to do?
We work hard for things that we want in the future.
Yeah. Well, as a Muslim, you know, what's
we build
what's
our house of paradise.
In, life? In the life, you should try to do as many
good deeds,
good actions. Try to get as much sawab you can by reading Quran, by reading Salah, by reading Durood Sharif,
doing pilgrimage,
doing Hajj.
That's hiding Umrah.
Same thing.
Umrah, Naat, or the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi
Wasallam. Masjid.
Anything good.
Helping Kabat.
Helping the family.
Fasting.
Feeding poor people. Yeah, giving charity. Yeah, so there's so many things which we should be doing in life to earn so much reward of blessings. All this, inshallah, will help us to enter paradise, inshallah.
The hereafter.
Yeah? For the Muslims, though, who are passed away with the Iman, how can we help them? They can't do anything now. That's for sure. They can't come back and do all the good things that they could have done in the dunya. They passed away. As a Muslim, how can we help them?
We can do dua for them.
Yes.
Like,
one way to help the Muslim is by doing dua for them.
Like an example.
So dua would be, how would you say dua? Say someone's father passed away, so how should you do dua? Ya Allah.
Ya Allah, please. If he did some bad deed, whatever bad deed he did wrong, please give him forgiveness.
Yeah, ask for forgiveness on their behalf.
And
Ya Allah, please forgive my father. Ya Allah, forgive my uncle. Forgive my granddad. Whoever's passed away, special dua. And make a routine, regular routine, to do dua for your loved ones who have passed away. This is an important part. You know, this dua that we're doing for our loved ones, this is powerful. This could make all the difference. If your dua is accepted on their behalf because of your dua, that your loved one, actually, when the person who passed away, maybe at that time, you know, if someone was to look at his, measure his good actions and bad actions, maybe his bad actions are so high and good actions only few. But the power of dua could, you know, earn him forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala and give him entry to paradise. A person could be about to be thrown into the fire of hell, but the power of dua could help him to go to Jannah. So we can't underestimate this importance of dua. We have to do dua for our loved ones. So that's one way to help the Muslims. What else can we do?
The read nawafil.
SubhanAllah. So reading nawafil, reading your namaz, what else could you read? Reading Quran.
Quran.
Doing any good actions, giving charity. Yeah, and whenever you do these, you do it so that Allah Ta'ala gives the reward of blessings of all this to them. This action is, you also get the sawab as well. So, for example, someone recited something. We recited some verses of the Quran, or he did any good action. Let's talk about this. Someone, he did some good actions, and as a return of these good actions, he earned, say, 1,000 good deeds, 1,000 thawab, 1,000 blessings he's got. Now this person, he can make dua and give this 1,000 thawab that he's got in his bank balance of actions. He can give the thawab to any Muslims he wants. Yeah. And this giving is like a gift. So we don't actually see this. But this, when you give thawab of 1,000, Ya Allah, you have given me 1,000 good deeds. Ya Allah, I ask you to give all the thawab to, as a gift to, for example, someone's grandfather passed away. Ya Allah, give all the thawab to my grandfather. Now, this 1,000 that thawab he's got, inshallah, his grandfather will get 1,000 thawab as well.
So they both will keep it.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna explain to you now. So the grandfather will also get 1,000 thawab as well. So it won't be like 50-50. Yeah, all that 1,000 will go to his grandfather. And look, this is where it gets more interesting. And we see the beauty and greatness of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So now the person makes dua, Ya Allah, give the thawab of 1,000 good deeds to my uncle who's passed away. Now that 1,000 thawab will go to his uncle as well.
And
it says, Ya Allah, give the thawab of these 1,000 good deeds to my auntie who's passed away, to my grandmother who's passed away, to my this so-and-so loved one who passed away. And just imagine, he's given the thawab to 10 different people. All them 10 people, inshallah, with the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, all of them will get 1,000 thawab each. So it won't be that there's 10 people, he only had 1,000 thawab. So this 1,000 thawab, 1,000 blessings, this won't be distributed between 10 people. So then each person will get 100 each. Yeah, it won't be so like this. Yeah, and now look at this. Look at the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. If someone was to do this, you're gifting the thawab to them. He can have the thawab. Yeah, in the dunya, when you give something to other people, what happens?
You share it out.
Say you had a bucket, for example, or a tray of fruit. So you share the fruit out. What happens with the tray?
If it gets finished,
it becomes empty. Yeah. But thawab is something else. The world of thawab and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is something else. Yeah. So this person only had 1,000 good deeds. He had 1,000 blessings. He asked Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, give this 1,000 as a gift to my loved one, number two, number three, number four, 10 different people. Yeah? Each person will get 1,000 thawab. And inshallah, this person himself will get the total thawab of the people as well. So not 1,000?
10,000.
10,000 thawab he's going to get himself.
Yeah.
So here, by giving,
You get more back.
And at the same time, you're helping your loved ones who have passed away. So it's important. Not in Muslim cultures, even in this day and age, we have people every Thursday. Now, it's a beautiful culture. Every Thursday, they make special arrangements in families. It happens in our households, possibly in your houses. If it doesn't happen, make sure it happens. It's a beautiful practice of Muslims. Every Thursday evening, the people get together as a family. Sometimes they cook some nice food as well. They have fruit, drink, milk, whatever on the plates, on the table as well. And then they do khatam. Yeah. And the concept of that is this thawab. So the family members, our grandparents, if anyone's father passed away, anyone's mother has passed away, anyone's brother or sister or children, anyone who's passed away from the family, they make sure every Thursday, they make special dua for them. You can do dua anytime. There's not a limit. It's not like only Thursday you should do it. But it's a practice. Muslims do it. Yeah, and you know when you mention names, yeah, like give the thawab to so-and-so person, when you mention their names, then inshallah, when the thawab reaches that person, and it reaches instantly, by the way. It doesn't get into like a backlog. It'll go in a ship and you're going to follow the stars and get to the place. No, it doesn't work like that. It's a different world of souls. Yeah? And this, the thawab gets there instantly. There's angels who convey the thawab. It's just amazing how it works. Now, when they receive the thawab, what else they find out? They find out who sent the thawab as well.
Oh, then they get,
And they get happy. They become happy. My grandson remembered me. my son has remembered me, and they become happy that my son sent me some gifts, and they need those gifts. They need these gifts, they need the sawab, because now they understand the importance of even a single sawab. It's so important for them. Yeah, to ask them.
Does the person have to be passed away to give the dua to?
Wow, that's a good question. That's a good question. I want to come to that. Your question?
So, you know, like if you like give all your sawab to like a loved one, would, and you give it to like 10 people that have passed away, mm-hmm. would you get like 10 times the one that you already had?
Yes. Yeah. That's what I was trying to explain to you earlier. So say you a person only had 1,000 sawab, he's given that to 10 different people. And then 10 different people will get 1,000 each. And the person who gave the sawab, he'll get the all the total sawab of them people he gave, he'll get that sawab, inshallah. So
even if you send all your sawab.
So he's got all the sawab, yeah. And you don't lose the sawab. There's no such thing when you give when you do isal sawab, you lost it now. It's a different world. It's the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Yeah? And at the same time, you can help people. You know, in the dunya, when someone's in pain, when someone's struggling, when you help someone, they don't feel, they appreciate this, don't they?
Yeah.
They feel so happy. They thank you so much for you know, coming to help. Yeah. But those people are passed away. Just imagine how much they'll be thanking us. So it's, as a Muslim, when you do the dua, the normal, like good practice is, when you convey the thawab for our loved ones, what we should do is we should say, Ya Allah, you know, for example, you recite one Surah Yasin. Yeah? After reciting Surah Yasin, you raise your hands, you say, Ya Allah, accept my reciting of Surah Yasin, and give me so much sawab according to your mercy. Yeah? Not according to how much I recited, how much effort I put in the recitation, but according to your mercy, Ya Allah, forgive my mistakes in the recitation. Ya Allah, give me the sawab according to your mercy, how much you want to give. And then, Ya Allah, give the this all the sawab that you give me, Ya Allah, give this as a form of gift in the court of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So the first person we should give the thawab as a gift is in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So make that routine. And after that, you can mention anyone's name. And if you have time, then you should give the thawab to all the prophets. Yeah? Through Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, give the thawab to all the prophets, all the sahaba, all the Ahlul Bayt, all the scholars of Islam.
Can you say all the people in the world?
Yes, you can.
Ah.
Yeah, you can say, but remember, thawab we give to the Muslims who are passed away. Yeah. So you can do thawab from Adam al-Islam, from the Prophet Adam al-Islam up to now, and those who are living, and all the way till the day of Qiyamah. All the Muslims who are here, who will live, Ya Allah, give the thawab to all of them. All the Muslims. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can.
So you can.
And you should make the habit.
So you, if you
There's no need of being stingy. You're not losing out. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala ala sallam. So please remember your loved ones. Make dua for them. Send isal thawab. Convey the gifts of the good deeds that you do to your loved ones. And make special dua for them. Dua of forgiveness. Ask Allah ta'ala for easy entry to paradise for your loved ones. Quickly, before we go to the next segment.
Is it true that when a person passes away, they don't go straight to Jannah or Jahannam? They go to a place called Bara.
Close. Barzakh. Yes, there's a place, there's a world, it's called waiting period. Yeah, when someone passes away, then they go into a waiting period. It's a world of, before you arrive on the dunya, they're in a world of souls. That's a different world. And then there's a world when a person is in the mother's stomach. Yeah. Then there's a world we live in the dunya. This we're in the third world, by the way. Call it third world country. We're in the third world. Yeah. We're in the third world here. Yeah? In our life journey. The world after this is called the world of barzakh. And this is a waiting period. And all those people who are passed away, they're in that. It's a different world. Their souls can flow. Depending on the if it's a Muslim and a non-Muslim and different status, they can wander around as well. And after that, then there'll be heaven and hell. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Let's go to our next segment, Islamic Heroes.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, Islamic Heroes. In this segment, we've got a unique personality we're going to talk about. We're going to share some interesting facts about this personality. It's possible a lot of us have not heard this name. We've not heard this name before. And this name is Sayyiduna Hur radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You've heard it. You just stay quiet. Sayyiduna Hur radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This individual, this person we're going to be talking about, this is Sayyiduna Hur rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. A great individual. Something extraordinary happened in his life that made him very special. Who's heard of the name before? You've heard the name before. You don't have to put your hand that high.
I know the story.
You know the story as well. Have you heard the name before?
Now I have.
Now you have. That was quick.
I don't know.
You said the name without the story though. So Sayyidina Hur radiallahu ta'ala anhu, briefly if you could explain, who is Sayyidina Hur rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi?
Sayyidina Hur rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. So during the incident of Karbala, if you remember Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was stopped in Karbala when he was going to Kufa. And the person on the other side, who was the leader of the army on the other side against Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was this individual called Sayyidina Hur rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Now at that time, he was the leader of the army and he was told by Yazid and his that side to come and capture Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he did that. But even at that time, if you remember, they used to read two different jamaats. So Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to, his side used to have their own namaz. They used to read their own jamaat. And the side of the other side used to read their own. But even though Sayyidina Hur radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the leader of the army, he was in charge, he still read namaz, not with the army, but with Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Because even at that time, he had love for Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then a point came in this incident where he thought, what am I doing? Why am I on this side? Even though I'm being told to be on this side, even though I'm being told it's still not right, I shouldn't be on this side. And he changed. He went to Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he apologized, he asked for forgiveness, and he stayed on that side then, to the point that he fought against the other army, the enemies of Sayyidina Imam Hussein, the other side that come, who had captured, he fought against them and he became martyred on the side of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
So at one moment, he was with the Yazidi camp, those evil people who did so much injustice to the family of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He was with them, not just with them, he was one of the leaders. He was like the captain. He was the main person at the beginning. And he stayed there. But when Allah ta'ala guided him, because he had love for the Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt, he had love for Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this love ignited in his heart. It lit up and he knew what the other people are doing is wrong. He knew that Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is on the truth and he is on haq. And alhamdulillah, he had the courage. You know, if he stayed, for argument's sake, if he stayed in that Yazidi camp and he passed away, no one would talk about him in a nice way. Yeah, in fact, people will say, you know, this person died and, you know, people will curse that person. But this Sayyidina Hur radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he became honored. When he left, he made the decision and he left the camp of Yazid and he joined Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when he joined Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then he fought against the other camp now. Yeah, and he became martyred. And he became someone extraordinary. And inshallah, he became shaheed and inshallah, he will have a very high status in Jannah. And you know, this is unique. We were talking about guidance before. When the guidance reached him, he understood, he accepted the message, and he accepted the truth. He came at the right time, he made the right decision. We need to make sure, we need to make some decisions in life as well. When you're with people, you know they're wrong. They're not doing the right thing. You don't just carry on being friends with them. You need to understand this. You can't just be friends with everyone. Yeah, be nice and kind to everyone, but friendship is something else. Yeah, when you make friends with someone, when you spend a lot of time with someone, you're always hanging out with them, you're talking to them, you're eating together, you're playing together, all them things that you do together, that's your friends. Yeah, friends, you need to make sure they're good people. And if they have any bad habit, you got two options. Either you know, correct them, help them to get rid of the bad habits, whatever it is. No, there's all sort of things that our friends do these days. Even if it's swearing, if one of your friends swear, yeah, he uses wrong words when he's talking to you and he's not being like a kind person, you need to tell them off. And if they're not being, you know, if they're not sorting themselves out, then you need to say to him, look, until you don't sort yourself out, I'm sorry, we can't be friends. I'm not going to be spending time with you now. I'm sorry, I don't want to have the bad habits. You know, if someone wants to know what your character is, if someone wants to know who is Hassan, who is Aban, who is Adam, what type of child is he, what type of character does he have, you know, one way to find out is who you hang around with, who your friends are. And if your friends are not the naughty lads, they don't have good things in them, they don't come to read namaz, and they're not kind to their parents, they swear, they, you know, mess around so much, they give a hard time to the teachers, that gives a bad impression about you as well. So one thing we learned from Sayyidina Hur radiallahu ta'ala anhu is Sayyidina Hur, he made the right decision at the right time. Because if it was one moment later, yeah, if he could have passed away in the Yazidi camp, and that would have destroyed his akhirah. But he's made that decision, he came on the right side. Alhamdulillah, Muslims all around the world, even now as well, Muslims remember Sayyidina Hur with great honor, and people do dua for him. May Allah Ta'ala shower millions of mercy upon his resting place. You know, his love saved him. Love for Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is something important to keep in mind. We learn a very important lesson from Sayyidina Hur rahmahullah. Now it's time for us to move on to our next segment, Sunnah and Manners.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sunnah and manners. Today we have a topic that we'll be talking about.
Giving water.
How important it is to give water to people. Only those people who don't have clean water, they know the importance. Giving water to people, get people to drink water, drinks on different occasions. And especially if you know like wider families or relatives where they don't have much water, especially if it's in different countries, you know, people should dig wells for them. It costs quite a bit, it's not
cheap.
Yeah. Digging wells for them. Some places they need filtered water. There's a whole like a plant, a system they have to install to make sure they have clean, you know, clean and pure water. So these are things we should be doing as a Muslim. It's so important for us that we do. We give clean water to people. We need to make sure, you know, whenever there's a small opportunity for you at home, you know, give water to each other. When you're eating food together in the family, you should get up first. Yeah, when your mom, your auntie, when they're putting food on the table, you should go to the sink, get some water for everyone. Get in a jug, bottle, whatever, get some glasses and pour it out. Don't just put it there. Pour it out. Pour water for people. When you have guests, give water to people. It's a beautiful habit. It's a really nice thing to do. So please have that in your mind, inshallah. Regarding water, Arkam bhai, just a few points you want to mention, anything?
We don't really understand the value of water because we have it so easily. If we have water even now and somebody else needs it, we should give it to them as well.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let's go straight to the answer of the day.
Safar.
What is it?
Safar.
Safar. The second Islamic month is called?
Safar.
Safar al-Muzaffar. Look after yourself. Stay tuned. Keep watching Madani channel. Inshallah, we'll be back next week. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. I love
Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.